All right, we'll get started here. Eventually. It's never harder to find stuff in your Bible than when you're starting to preach. Then you just forget where all the books are at. All right, I don't know how many of you have heard that song, Be Careful Little Eyes What You See, Be Careful Little Mouth What You Say. And that's sort of what that's a song I remembered when I read James 3:5, to be careful little mouth what you say. And in James 3:5, it says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And so this morning, the Lord has laid it on my heart, and throughout the week, he laid it on my heart to really study through how does God desire me to be talking, and to share that with you guys this Sunday. So here are a couple instances in my life that I have been reminded of how powerful my words are. When I was younger, I don't know if I've ever told this story or about this situation. When I was younger, though, me and my brother did not get along at all. I have a younger brother. He's a senior in high school this year. Just saw him yesterday, actually. I went to his cross-country meet. Well, when he was young, we were both young. When we were young, we did not get along at all in large part, that was because I was just a jerk to him. Like, I don't know what was going on, but I think some things were said to me at school, and then I sort of took it out on my brother and the words that I said to him. And just putting him down, calling him names, putting him down, we didn't get along. And the words that I told him were harmful, they were nasty. They completely ripped our relationship apart. And I'm so thankful that is not the case anymore. We talk nearly every day, and God has reconciled that relationship. But growing up, that was not the case, and our words are powerful. They can wreck relationships if we're not careful. At the school, I still work at the public school half a day and work in the kindergarten and the second grade, and I'm teaching them words, I'm teaching them how to pronounce things, and oh, when they do a good job, I look them square in the eye and I say, hey, that was a really good job. Keep it up. But if they're not doing a good job, maybe they get in trouble, they're breaking a rule or something, I have to tell them sternly and say, hey, knock it off. Like, you know better. Like, you can do better than that, right? And you see their face, they're all down in the dumps. Like words are powerful. And in that instance, like, that's a good thing. You need to rebuke them for something they did wrong. But at the same time, you also see the power of words. We must be speaking accurate and true words in a loving manner. And what a huge part of our lives our words are. Brett mentioned some statistics about how many times the word holy is mentioned. Was it 612 or whatever? Well, in the Bible at least, in our lives, each day on average, we say about 7,000 words. That's incredible. And that's just words that we talk. So like over the phone or in person, back and forth. Words we write, how about that? Well, the average American sends and receives 94 text messages a day. I think I'm well below average there, but that's interesting to see how many words are sent over text message. And that's not counting email, that's not counting any other messaging apps or social media. Like, that's just words that you write down or words that you write in a letter. That's one statistic I saw. Words are a huge part of our lives. A few other things to note is I was thinking through the first words ever recorded in human history, right? The words of God to create the heavens and the earth, to create everything around us. God used words to create us. God spoke us into existence. He created us with language, too. He created us being able to speak, to communicate. He spoke to men through the years and the prophets to his people. And he spoke to us through his son Jesus, through Jesus Christ. And you think of the wisdom that Jesus had in responding to different situations in his life. And we want to try to imitate that, right? We want to be more Christ-like in what we say. God also speaks to us today through his word, the Bible, right? And so we're going to really be digging into, in your bulletin, I thought it was funny, you might not. But I, instead of putting like the reference I would turn to, I just put lots of verses in your notes. Because we'll be all over. Well, God speaks to us today through his word. And he has laid out for us in his word how he wants us as believers to speak. So this is not exhaustive, but I believe these points that I have will help us along our journey of knowing how to speak, how God wants us to speak. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. James 3:5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue, so small, just a small part of our body, right? But so powerful. James 1:26. James has a lot to say about the tongue. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Wow. If we are believers who can't control what we say, our religion is worthless. It does no good to the people around us. People will be hurt. No one will be able to trust us, and no one will hear of Christ if we can't control what we say. So I want to propose to you today a main truth that we find all over the Bible, that we need to think about what we say. We need to think about what we say. You need to think about what you say. Take your time when you speak. Be aware of what you're saying and the impact it has on your own integrity and on others around you. James 1:19 says just this truth. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Think about what you say. Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We can't shy away from what we know is right and true, right? But we do need to be speaking the truth in love. We need to be speaking the truth in a loving way. Think about what you say. Well, how can we think about what you say? And I was thinking of a good way to illustrate this throughout the sermon. And do you remember like in a cartoon or old shows when they might have a light bulb turn on above their head? Well, today we're going to be looking at six light bulb realizations we need to have about our words in order to speak the way God wants us to speak. So realizations we must have or continue to have as we think about how God wants us to talk. The first realization we must have, light bulb number one that's got to click on in our brains, is we need to realize your words flow from the heart. Realize your words flow from the heart. Matthew 12:33-35, and because I'm going to be everywhere, I have them recorded in my notes so I don't have to be flipping the whole time, because you know how I do with that. I get lost. Matthew 12:33-35. Either make the tree and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. This is sharing with us what is in the heart will eventually come out by what we say. We're known by what we say. And you are known by what you say. Think about what you say and realize that your words come from the heart. Make sure your words are coming from a heart transformed by Christ, right? We need to be transformed by Christ, or everything we say will be skewed by sin. And we still struggle with that fact, right? That the words we say will sometimes come out wrong, or we'll say something wrong, but we need to be speaking from a heart transformed by Christ. Your transformed heart is meant to produce true good fruit. Good words should come out of your mouth. Matthew 15, 17 through 20. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Those are both relating to our speech. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. What you eat doesn't make you spiritually unclean before God, right? No, of course not. Well, maybe if you eat too many donuts. But no, I'm kidding. What you eat doesn't make you spiritually unclean. But the Pharisees thought that was the case. And that's what Jesus is correcting here. They thought what we eat, that's what makes us unclean before God. No, that is not the case at all. And what is in your heart, that is what makes you unclean. And that is what will eventually come out. And among those things that come out of an evil heart are false witness and slander. False witness being lying about another person. Slander being speaking evil of another person. Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So you see that treasure word in a couple of those verses, right? What you have poured into your heart, what you watch and what you read and what you listen to will eventually pour out of your mouth. What you value, what your treasure is, what you have purposely stored in your heart will eventually produce either good or evil. Simple as that. What we put in will come out in what we say. So we need to be making sure to put into our lives the good, the edifying, God's word, devotionals, like listening to maybe some podcasts that are building us up for good works. We must be aware of what we are treasuring, what you are putting into your heart. What are you watching, reading, or listening to? Is it going to end up producing good or producing evil? Think about what you say. Realize your words flow from the heart, and what goes into the heart will eventually flow out of the heart. So that's our realization number one, or the first light bulb that's got to click. The second one, that's got to be going off in our mind is we need to realize that your words matter to God. They matter to God a whole lot. Matthew 12, 36 through 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Every single one. That's crazy. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That, remember, this is coming after, right after one of those heart passages. It's coming out of your heart. So what you're genuinely believing is going to eventually come out in your words. Your words matter to God. We will give an account for every careless word. We can't really say, oh, it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. I was just joking. Like, we need to be able to watch our words, to think about what we say. Our words matter to God. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance are the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. Perverted speech I hate. That's how strongly God feels about when we're speaking evil. God hates perverted speech, and that is deliberately going against what God wants, what God says is how we should talk. He hates that. He can't stand it. That kind of talk is evil. It's evil speech, perverted speech. The first light bulb that must light up in our minds is a realization that our words come from the heart. The second is that we must realize that our words, they matter to God. He hates it when we choose to talk in an evil way, and he will judge every single careless word that we say. So we can remember that. Man, our words matter to God. The third light bulb that's going off in our minds, or should be at least, is that we need to realize you must control your words. You must control your words. And you can turn to James, or the words will be up on the screen. James 3, verses 1 through 5. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. If we are able to control our tongue, if we're able to be self-controlled in what we say, we are well on our way to becoming self-controlled in all other aspects of our life. And that's what it says right there in, at the end of verse 2. He is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. This doesn't say you are bridling your whole body, but you're able to. If you're able to be self-controlled in what you say, you're able to be self-controlled in other areas of your life. So it's a good indicator for the rest of our lives. Of course, this passage points out that we all stumble, right? Verse 1 and verse 2 remind us that no one is immune to stumbling. No one's got a free pass and like, oh, they're not gonna struggle anymore. No, it's common for everyone to still stumble. No one is perfect in what they say. No one's perfect in what they say, but nonetheless, we must have a goal of controlling our tongue. Thinking about what we say, our main theme of the day, has the end goal of controlling our words and letting them be used for God's glory. Controlling our tongue has an end goal of being able to use our words for God's glory, for building up of others. We cannot be a mature man or woman of God if we have not learned to be self-controlled in every area of our lives, but that includes the area of the tongue, right? And the tongue is a huge part of that. As we continue through James, and you could dig into this passage so much more, and I saw a lot more that I could ever share with you. Well, unless we want to stay till like 2 this afternoon, but we won't do that. James 3, 6 through 12. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt water produce, or neither can a salt pond, yield fresh water. These verses remind us of the challenge it is to control our tongue. It's a challenge. It is a restless evil. It is a challenge to control our tongue. It is not easy. Our words can get us in trouble so easily. And there is one time, just as way of example, helping us remember just the difficulties of this. One time, my senior year at Frontier, it was the springtime, and we had been sent home because of COVID, and we were finishing up online. And Frontier has never done online format, so there was a few glitches in the system, so to speak. And well, at that time, I was dating a young lady, and I saw that she was online, and so I was like, hey, I'll send her a little note, encourage her, and I did that, and then I got quite the scare because the website glitched, and it looked like I had sent it to the vice president of the school. And so I was like, oh, boy. And it wasn't like, it was like, well, it's not a big deal. Like, I just messaged him and apologized, and then it ended up, it didn't even go through. It was all a confusing deal. But our words can get us into trouble very, very easily. And this situation was harmless enough, right? It wasn't really a big deal. And I was good friends with this teacher, the vice president at the school, Mr. Bagley there. And it wasn't harmless, but... But what is harmful is a snappy comment made in anger when we just can't stand what someone is doing, or maybe that little white lie that just makes you look a little bit better. Man, those things are the things that are harmful to our integrity and harmful to other people. We shouldn't be speaking evil and good out of our mouths. We find in James that our words should be a fresh spring of water, right? James is saying they shouldn't be good and bad words coming out of your mouth. They should just be good. That is what God wants from us, is to produce good, edifying words, refreshing those around us. We shouldn't be speaking evil and good out of our mouths. We are reminded of the power of our words and to control them for God's glory. Don't let evil and good come out of your mouths, just good. That's what this is communicating. Think about what you say. Realize your words flow from the heart and that they matter to God. Realize you must control your words. And fourthly, the fourth light bulb, so to speak, is we need to realize you must keep your word. Realize you must keep your word. And along with that, in this category, telling the truth. Realize you must keep your word. Tell the truth. Matthew 5, 33 through 37, this is Jesus correcting the rabbinical teachings. They've been teaching these things that are above and beyond what Scripture says, and he's correcting them here, saying, "Again, you have heard it said that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." It's saying you're not really in control. Continuing on, "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil." And what the Pharisees of the day is, they would swear by heaven, or they would swear by earth, or by Jerusalem, and then if they couldn't fulfill their oath, they just say, "Oh, God wasn't involved, it's okay." No, that is not right. That is what Jesus is saying here. This passage teaches us that in our lives, there shouldn't be levels of yes and no. Like, one yes isn't greater than another. I shouldn't have to say, "I swear I will do this or that," as a further assurance to someone that I'll get it done. If I say yes, people should know that I genuinely agree with what they're saying, or that I am committed to helping or working in the capacity that we've discussed or agreed on. When I say yes, I should do it. And I admit, like, I have not always been perfect in this area, and sometimes it slips my mind, or I just don't get it done. But this is the standard that God has set for us, that we need to let our yes be yes and our no be no. If I say I'm going to do it, I need to do it. If I say no, I will never do that, I need to keep my word, unless that is a sinful item, right? James 5:12. "But above all, brothers," this is repeating what Jesus said, "do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." This adds that little part at the end, "so that you may not fall under condemnation." We need to think about what we say. We need to think about what we say yes and no to. If we don't, it's going to come back and bite us, guys. Like, we're going to end up double committing to something and then having to go back on our word, right? And that's sinful. Or end up doing something that we said we would never do. And this is all part of that simple truth that we've got to tell the truth, right? Tell the truth. Let your words be truthful, speaking the truth in love that we looked at earlier. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Realize you must keep your word. Your words flow from the heart. They matter to God. We must control our words, and part of controlling our words is keeping our word and telling the truth. Think about what you say. Think about what you say, or it's going to come back and bite you, right? You're going to say something you regret. You're going to say something that you can't keep your word later in. Think about what you say. Our fifth realization we must have, the fifth light bulb, is we need to realize you must build up with your words. Build up with your words. Ephesians 4:29 shares with us, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That corrupting talk, that word there, it's very close to what is also translated as rotten. So you can imagine like the leftovers in the back of your fridge, right? That they get buried for a couple months, and you pull them out, and man, that is nasty, right? That let no rottenness come out of your mouth. That is disgusting. That is what it's talking about here. That's how nasty our evil talk is to God. Let no rottenness come out of your mouth. Only the edifying stuff, the building up stuff, should be a part of our vocabulary. And that doesn't mean that sometimes the hearers of our words will be unhappy when they hear what we say. Sometimes exactly what I need to hear, it's difficult to hear, right? Sometimes even when a word is spoken graciously to us, we still don't want to hear it, right? Even if it's from God's word, but man, it's not what I want to do, or not how I want to respond in this situation, but it's something good to hear. So it's not saying like, man, we need to make sure everyone's always okay with what we're saying. No, we need to be speaking the truth in love yet. Ephesians 4:15 and 16, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In Ephesians, we see that speech within the body of Christ should be loving, should be edifying, and truthful. Our words should be helping us grow into becoming more Christ-like. The end of verse 15, we are to grow up in every way into Christ, into him who is the head, into Christ. And in speaking the truth, building each other up is part of that. Think about what you say. Realize your words flow from the heart. They matter to God. You must control your words and keep your word. Realize you must build up with your words, and that is an essential part in growing together by the power of Christ in building up with our words. Let's look at our sixth light bulb moment we must have, and this will be the last thing for today, besides the conclusion. Don't get your hopes up. We're still going. Light bulb number six. Realize you must share Christ with your words. Realize you must share Christ with your words. Romans 10, 14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom? Let me start that over. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? There you go. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The only reason as believers we're here today, we're able to grow today, the only reason we're in the grace of God today is because someone was faithful to share the good news of the gospel with us. Someone was faithful to share about Christ with us, with their words. They shared with us. The only way souls will come to Christ is by them hearing the word of God. It's the only way. How do they do that? By us proclaiming to them, preaching to them, or proclaiming the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And the same word here in Romans that is translated as preaching is also translated as proclaiming in other parts of the Bible. They have very similar thing going on. In the same words used in Mark 16:15, in one of the Great Commission passages. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." There's no cop-out for this message. There's no excuse to not be doing this. It doesn't say, hey, proclaim the gospel unless you're too busy. It doesn't say, hey, proclaim the gospel unless it's awkward or unless it's awkward between you and another person. No, proclaim the gospel unless you don't want to use a friend. No, there's no cop-out here. There's no cop-out. We've got to proclaim the gospel, and if we are genuinely caring about those around us, we've got to do that. We've got to be sharing the gospel of Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection for the salvation of our sins. None of those things that we shared earlier, right? Proclaim the gospel unless. No, that doesn't work. No, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's what Mark 16:15 says. Think about what you say. Well, how can we think about what we say? Well, these six light bulb moments we must have or continue to have. We got to make sure these lights are on at all times, right? We got to be thinking on all cylinders, working on all cylinders to continue to speak right. These six light bulb moments we must have or continue to have start us on the journey of bridling the tongue. Like, this is not an exhaustive list of how God wants us to talk. Like, there are other truths that we can gather from Scripture and how God wants us to be speaking. But I believe these ones will get us started. They start us on the journey of bridling the tongue, controlling the tongue. Realize your words come from the heart. Realize your words come from the heart. A heart hopefully transformed by God, right? That's our goal. And when our heart is transformed by God, then we need to be making sure that our words are coming from a good place. Remember, we have in James, it shares about how it can speak either good or evil, and we need to be sharing the good, speaking the good, the truth. Realize God cares about what you say a whole lot. He hates evil speech and will judge each careless word that we say. Realize we must learn to control our words in our journey to becoming a mature believer. Realize we must keep our word. We've got to tell the truth or have a testimony before fellow believers in outsiders' harm. That's the choice we have, to either control our words, to tell the truth, to let our yes be yes and our no be no, or our integrity is harmed and no one's going to believe us when it really matters. Realize our words are meant to build up fellow believers in our journey of becoming more Christ-like. And finally, realize you must share Christ with your words. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. One final verse, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. That phrase, be careful, little mouth, what you say, right? It is way bigger than we ever thought when we sang that as a child, right? There is so much involved in watching our mouth, in thinking about what we say. There's so much more than we ever could have imagined as a kid singing that song, right? But with God's help, we can harness that power of the tongue to speak right and to give life to those around us. That is our goal. That is why we need to think about what we say. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll enjoy some fellowship time. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and how you've spoken to me this week. And Lord, just help my friends here just remember the truths of your word. And if anything was off, just help them to forget about that. But Lord, I just pray and thank you for speaking to me this week through your word. And just help us to speak right, speak accurately, speak truly. Help us to think about what we say as we go into this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, you're good to go.